This week we are learning Yevamos Dav Dalet. We left off on the bottom of Dav Gimel Aviz, about four or five lines up from the bottom of the page. So we had mentioned that generally the mitzvah of Yibum is in a case where two brothers are Reuven and Shimon. Reuven's married to Rachel, and Reuven dies, so Rachel does Yibum with her brother-in-law. So even though normally there's an Isser of Eishes Ach, there's an Isser for a woman to be with her brother-in-law, but there's a mitzvah Yibam. So we pointed out in the Gemara on the top of Gimel Mabiz that we had a Pasuk that told us that there's no mitzvah of Yibam with an Achos Isha. So that means that, let's say Reuven and Shimon marry two sisters, and Rachel and Leah. Reuven's married to Rachel, Shimon's married to Leah. If Reuven dies, now Rachel's going to fall to Shimon and Yibam. The problem is that Rachel is also Shimon's sister-in-law. He's his wife's sister. So we had a specific pasuk which told us that ishalach osalo sikach, that a person is not allowed to yibum with his sister-in-law, with his wife's sister. So, says the Gemara, taima dekasa rachmana aleha, the only reason that yibum was not allowed on a sister-in-law is because the pasuk said aleha, and we had the word aleha by yibum, and therefore we said, we learn out lo sikach, that even when there's a mitzvah of yibum with aleha, we still say lo sikach. Well, says the Gemara, the implication is, halav hachi, if I wouldn't have had the pasuk of aleha, hava mina achos isha miyavemes, that a man, Shimon, would be allowed to do yibum on his sister-in-law. My taima. What's the hava mina? If I didn't have the pasuk, why would I think it would be mutter? It must be, diamrinan, asiase, v'dachi los ase, that we have a concept, very famous concept, that the ase, the mitzvah ase of doing yibum, would override the los ase of being with one's sister-in-law. The problem is, says the Gemara, emar diamrinan asiase, v'dachi los ase, when do we say that an ase overrides a los ase? That's only los ase greda, when it's a simple lav in the Torah, los ase shishbo kares, midachi. But here, the Isra of being with Achos Isha, with one sister-in-law, is not a regular lav that one would get Malkus on. It's a lav that has Kares associated with it. So who's to say that an Aseh would override a Los Aseh, which seems to be stronger because it also has an Isra Kares associated with it. Now, just to clarify, what's the logic of saying that Aseh would not be Docha, a Los Aseh Sheish Bokares? So the Yeshua's Yaakov, in his Kuntras Achron, the Hos Pesach, says, what's the reason why an Aseh is Docha Los Aseh? It's because when you do the Maisa of the Mitzvah, and you're doing it for the sake of the Mitzvah, it's like you're considered a Shogig on the Lav. You're not intending to violate that Avera. So that's considered a Shogig. So he says, now it makes sense. Because by a regular Isser Lav, a Shogig is Pater. If a person does an Avera that's only a Lav in the Torah, a Shogig, he's Pater. But if you do an Isser Kares b'shogig, you're still chayev. And therefore it makes sense to say that an Aseh would not override the Los Aseh Sheish Bokares, because even if you're considered a shogig, but a shogig's, you're still chayev. So I was in a Reshechter's year, many years ago, we were learning with Yevamos, and he explained even further. He said, regular Isurei Lav are what we call Isurei Gavra, meaning that they're an Isser on the person. I shouldn't do something. That's why b'shogig, unintentionally, there's no violation. As I didn't do any act of rebellion because the issue's on me and I didn't intend to do anything. Whereas by isurei kares, which are isur cheftza, it's not that I can't do something, it's that whatever the item is, the object is, becomes a cheftza shel isur. So then even if I'm shogig, at the end of the day, it's still an isur. The example he gave was, if you eat poison, even by accident, you could still die. And the Ramban writes this way explicitly in his commentary on Parshas Vayikra. So that explains a little bit as to the logic behind why we wouldn't say, Aseh Dochelos Aseh Sheyesh Bo Kares. Says the Gemara, the bottom line of Gilam Abiz, Pesu, Los Aseh Greda Minolan. The Gemara says, just generally, by the way, how do we know that Naseh is Doche a regular Los Aseh? How do we know a Mitzvah Aseh is overriding a regular lav in the Torah? So how do we know? Tav dalam aleph dichsiv, because the pasuk says lo silbush shatnis, don't wear wool and linen together in your garments. And then the very next pasuk says, Gedilim tasalacha, you should tie tzitzis. So what do you see from that? Rashi explains. So you see that you're allowed to wear klayim, wool linen, in your tzitzis. Why would that be? It must be that the aseh, the mitzvah aseh of wearing tzitzis, overrides the los aseh of wearing klayim. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, smuchim min haTorah minayin, meaning the fact that we just learned out that aseh d'cholos aseh, from the fact that I'm allowed to wear tzitzis, even when they have klayim, we learn that out from a juxtaposition, what we call smuchin, of two psukim. So Rabbi Elazar says, how do I know that we can derive things from the juxtaposition of psukim? Shenamar, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, smuchim la'ali olam asuyim be'emes v'yashar, that things are supporting God, that his ways are just and straight. This is referring to God's ordinances, his rules, his laws, but we learn it not only to be smuchim, to support, but smuchim also to mean juxtapose. So we see from there a source that things that are close together are considered emes v'yashar. They are able to be derived from one to one another. So, v'amr Reb Sheshes, v'amr Elazar, v'shem Reb Elazar, ben Azariah, minayin li'yavama shenafal ne'mukashchin shenchos menosa. We're going to bring another example of where we darshan smuchim, juxtaposition in psukim. So he says, where do I know that, let's say you have Reuven married to Rachel, and Reuven has a brother Shimon, and Reuven dies, lo aleinu, and Rachel falls to Shimon, but Shimon is a leper, he's a cripple, he's disgusting. So you would say, oh, but she has a mitzvah to Yibam. So how do we know that Rachel can say, she falls to a mukashchin, someone disgusting, in chosmenosa, we don't muzzle her, we don't silence her, we actually validate her claim that I don't want to do this, and therefore we allow her to just do chalitza, let him spit in her shoe. They're not going to sleep together. How do we know that? Shenemar lo sachsom shor b'disho. He says a person shouldn't muzzle his ox. V'samachlei, and juxtaposed to that it says, ki yeshu achim yachtov, the parsha of Yibam. So you see from there that even in the parsha of Yibam, when a woman falls to a brother that she's supposed to Yibam with, there are times where we don't muzzle her. We allow her claim. If she says, I'm disgusted by this guy, he's gross, he has certain diseases, he's physically deformed, so we would validate her claim, and we would not force her to do Yibam with him, rather we would have him do chalitza with her. So that's an example where we derive a halacha from a smuchim, from a juxtaposition in psukim. From Rav Yosef, afil mandelo dar smuchim ba'alma, even those opinions who say that we don't really make these drushas from juxtapositions in psukim, but Mishnah Torah, darish, and Yonah Dioma, we're starting Sefer Dvarim now. So in Sefer Dvarim, even those opinions would agree that we are darish smuchim. Why? Dahar of Yehuda ba'alma lo darish, Mishnah Torah darish. And as an example of one of these opinions, Rabbi Yehuda normally does not learn anything from the juxtaposition of psukim in the other four books of the Torah. And yet, if two psukim are juxtaposed to Sefer Dvarim, he will learn something out from that. So now, uba'al minon zol darish, where do we see that Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to the rest of the Torah, besides for Sefer Dvarim, will not be dorish smuchim? Titania, we have a braisa. Benazai omer, ne'er mechashe falo sechaya. It says that one who performs witchcraft shall not live. Benemar kol shochev im behemai bos yumas. And juxtaposed to it says, if a person commits bestiality, he will get killed. So samchu inyan lo. So why does juxtapose them? To teach me a halacha about mechashefa, about someone who commits witchcraft. Ma shochev im behema beskila. Just like someone who commits bestiality, when the pasuk says, most you must, we know that the most strict form of death penalty, it's skila, it's stoning. Af mechashefa beskila. So to one performs witchcraft, all the pasuk said was, lo sechaya, he will not live. But the Torah didn't say which death penalty he gets. So we learn from the juxtaposition that even someone who performs witchcraft will get skila. So that's learned from a juxtaposition. But Amalei Yehuda, Yehuda says, and remember, those psukim are in Sefer Shmos. So Rabbi Yehuda says, V'chivim neshe samchu inyan lo, nozi lel skila, just because mechashefa is next to bestiality, we're going to give that guy the death penalty of stoning, the most strict one. No! Rabbi Yehuda doesn't darshan smuchin in the other four books of the Torah. Ella, rather he says, how do I know a mechashefa, someone who commits witchcraft,
get stoning. It's oviyadoni bichlal. We have two specific forms of witchcraft called oviyadoni, which are bichlal mechashafim hayu, which are really part of the broader category of witchcraft. So v'lama yatsu, why did the Torah spell them out? There are probably hundreds of forms of witchcraft. L'hakish lahem, to say that the penalty for a general mechashefa will be similar to that of these specific witchcrafts. V'lo malacha, to teach you, ma oviyadoni, just like oviyadoni, we know from the Torah is biskila, get stoned, af mechashefa, just like, so to any other type of witchcraft, biskila. So that's where you see that Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to the other four books of the Torah, over here was Sefer Shmos, he does not dorish smuchim. Says the Gemara, Umishna Torah minon de darish, how I know in Sefer Dvarim, Rabbi Yehuda does dorish smuchim. Detanan, we have a Mishnah, Mesachas Brachos, which says, Nose Adam, Anusas Aviv, Umfudas Aviv, Anusas Beno, Umfudas Beno. Tanakama says, as strange as this may sound, as weird as it may be, a person may marry the rape victim of his father. So a person's father rapes a woman, and that son, is allowed to marry her. Similarly, if the father seduced this woman, or anusas beno, futas beno, if a person's son was ma'anis a woman, or seduced a woman, again, a person can marry her. So Rabbi Yehuda, and why would that be, by the way? Says Rashi, because we only have really in the Torah of ishas avicha, of a person's father's wife, whether that be his biological mother or his stepmother through marriage. But that's all al yedei ishus de kiddushin. There has to be some level of marriage there. So we don't have an explicit source in the Torah that Aster is being with simply someone his father slept with, not in the context of a marriage. But that was all the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda, Oser Banusis Aviv, Umfudas Aviv. Rabbi Yehuda says that a person may not marry or be with the rape victim or the seduction victim of his father. V'amr of Gidol Marav, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. Where does Rabbi Yehuda know this is Aser? At the end of the day, it doesn't say explicitly in the Torah. Dechsev, because the Pasuk says, and these Pesukim are all in Sefer Dvarim, Lo yikach ish es ishes aviv, a person may not marry his father's wife. This might be referring to a stepmother. Lo yigalek knaf aviv, he should not reveal the nakedness of his father. So what does that teach me? That second part of the pasuk seems a little bit extra and redundant. So it teaches me knaf shera aviv lo yigalek. From the son's perspective, any woman whose erva his father has seen, meaning through relations, even not in the context of a marriage, the son may not be with, may not reveal that nakedness. So it says the Gemara, umamai deba'anusa k'siv. There are other ways for the father, maybe he just slept with a penuya, a single girl. How do we know that the pasuk is specifically talking about the father raped a woman? It says the Gemara, me'ilave dekra. Well, that pasuk was from Perichav Gimel, pasuk Aleph in Sefer Dvarim. There's a pasuk at the very end, the last pasuk of Perek Chav Beis, the previous pasuk, which said, "Dichsiv v'nasan ha'ish hashochevi ma lavianara chamishim kesef." That if a man rapes a woman, he has to pay as a penalty to her father. If he rapes a nara, a girl who's between 12 and 12 and a half, he has to pay her father 50 coins, 50 silver. So v'samach le, and juxtaposed to that, the next pasuk, in the first pasuk of Perek Chav Gimel, says lo yikach ish. Refers to the iser of being with one's father's wife, and similarly, lo yigalek knaf aviv. So you see that because the last pasuk in Parakhav Beis was referring to rape, and the first pasuk in Parakhav Gimel is referring to this iser of being with anyone whose father has seen her nakedness, so it must be we're talking about someone who the father has raped. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda learns an iser from smuchin, because in Sefer Dvarim. And that's how we see Rabbi Yehuda in Sefer Dvarim learn smuchim. Aiv Rabbanon. So the Tanakama here said, Anusas aviv is mutter. So why? Don't we have the juxtaposition? He says, no. Ihavi samech le kedika amart. If they were truly juxtaposed, the Rabbanon would agree to Rabbi Yehuda. But hashta lo samech le. They're not actually juxtaposed. And if you look at the parentheses here, it says, Dichsiv, the end of
the pasuk, the parachav beis pasukav tes, referring to the rape where the man has to pay the father 50 kesef, that ends. But it's not like the first words of the next pasuk are lo yiglach kanaf aviv. There's a phrase lo yikach ish as ish aviv, which breaks up the smichos. We're trying to learn a smichos between pasuk chav tes and parachav beis and the end of the next pasuk. But the resha, the beginning of that pasuk, breaks it up. According to the Rabbanan, we only darshan smuchim when the words are mamish next to each other. But if you have a phrase that's in the middle, that's split in the middle, so Rabbi Huda would say that. The Rabbanan would say that's not called smuchim. Whereas Rabbi Huda would say smuchim means close, next to each other, back to back pasukim. They don't have to be the words mamish touching. So now, according to the Rabbanan, what is the phrase in that pasuk of lo yigla kanaf aviv referring to? If it's not teaching me that there's an iser of anusas aviv. So he says, it must be bishomeres yad makasa medaber, a woman who her husband just died, she's waiting to do yibum, v'lavar alav bishnei lavin. But if she fell to her father, to such a person of aviv, where she's anusas aviv, so there'd be two lavin. One of them would be the lav anusas of shomeres yavam, which is in general, a shomeres yavam is usher to be with anyone in the world because she's waiting for that brother Shimon, and there will be a second lav over here of lo yigla kanaf aviv, the fact that it's her father. Okay, so now the Gemara says umishna Torah my time with the darish. What's the logic of Rabbi Yehuda? Why does Rabbi Yehuda not darshan smuchin in the first four books of the Torah, but yes darshan smuchin in Sefer Dvarim? We explained, we saw examples that he does and does not, but what's the logic? So, it's either because of that we're forced to say that, or because it's mufne, it's open. So, what that means is, muchach means that it's out of place. Sometimes things in Sefer Dvarim, which is really a recap, a Mishnah Torah, we're repeating things that have already happened in the rest of the Torah, sometimes that they're placed in a certain place that it shouldn't have been there, or it should have been written earlier in the Torah when this topic was initially discussed. So muchach means the fact that something's in Sefer Dvarim in a certain place and it seems to be out of place can essentially teach us or instruct us that we can use it to derive something from. What mufni means is that sometimes you have extra words, extra phrase. And therefore, in Sefer Dvarim, apparently there are many extra phrases and we can learn extra things from those phrases. Now really, what's going on here? Why is Sefer Dvarim different? So Tosfos says that, simply put, Rabbi Huda thinks that at Sefer Dvarim, everything is either mufna or muchach. The Ritva and the Ramban say this way too. Meaning really, throughout the rest of the Torah also, we have things that are extra, things that are in the wrong place. The problem is, by the other four books of the Torah, says the Ritva and the Ramban, we have a concept. Ein muktam u'me'ocher b'Torah. There's no real order in the Torah. So it's very hard to make a limud of a juxtaposition of psukim when we say that the order is not a storybook. But by Mishneh Torah, by Sefer Dvarim, it was written in order. And therefore, there's really a din of muchach and mufna. The Maariv Chayetz here says, no, it's a different, we're explaining something differently. There's a Gemara in Gittin, on Daf Samach Mad Aleph, which quotes a machlokes, whether the Torah was given Megillah Megillah Nisna or Chasuma Nisna. Meaning, Megillah Megillah Nisna means in the Midbar, some parts of the Torah were given year one, some year two, and so on and so forth. If you say Megillah Megillah Nisna, the Torah was given in parts, it's very hard to say that we're darshan smuchin. Because, let's say in year one, they darshan one pasuk, in year two, they darshan another pasuk. So they're juxtaposed in the Torah, but they were said different years. Whereas, by Sefer Dvarim, it all came at once from Moshe. Everyone agrees Chasuma Nisna. And therefore, it makes sense to Darshan, Smuchim, specifically when it comes to Dvarim. Now we're going to apply the logic of Muchach and Mufne to our cases, like we just had, and the case earlier by Tzitzis. So says the Gemara, Ibai say Mishim de Muchach, Dim Kain, Likse Rachmana, Gabi Arayos. I mean, this pasuk of Lo Yigaleh, Knaf Aviv is muchach.
Why? Because it should have said it back in Sefer Vayikra when it talked about all the arayos. So the fact that it listed in Sefer Dvarim is muchach. It's out of place, so it can teach us something. Or it's extra, dimkin, lithe rachmana, luyikach ish, ish zaviv. The pasuk should have simply said, a son is not allowed to be with his stepmom, with his father's wife. Those words are simply extra. What are they teaching me? So says the Gemara, turning over to Dalon Vez, it must be they're extra, and they can therefore teach me the Isser of Anusas of Aviv based on Smuchim. Now we're going to explain how even the limit of Tzitzis and Kalayim, which is also in Sefer Dvarim, we can learn from Muchach and also from Mufne, says the Gemara, "V'gabei tzitzis nami ibayseh mishun demuchach, v'ibayseh mishun demufne." You can learn it both ways. Ibayseh mishun demuchach. If you want to say it's because it's just in the wrong place, Tim Cain, this is Rachmana guy parshas tzitzis. Why didn't it list these psukim of Gedil and Tasselcha in the parsha of tzitzis? So why did it list it here? L'may hilchas akas v'hacha. So it must be it's Muchach to teach me something. V'ibayseh mishun demufne. Or you could say that maybe the parsha of tzitzis, there's some extra words. Why? Michti. Let's see. Ksit kasav ubegid kalayim shatnes lo yala lecha. And again, remember, we're doing the smichus of the isser shatnes to the mitzvah of tzitzis. So in that smichus, there's extra words. Why? Because the pasuk says, a begid of kalayim shatnes you shouldn't put on. So it says lo yala lecha. It already tells you can't put it on. So lo silba shatnes lamali. Why does it say don't wear shatnes? Isn't that redundant? Didn't you already say lo yala lecha? Shma mina lafnuye. It must be that the words lo silba shatnes are extra, and therefore they can teach me the smuchin that I can wear kalayim when I'm wearing tzitzis. I can wear kalayim in my tzitzis. Says the Gemara, you really think lo silba shatnes are words that are extra? Honey matrach tzriche. They're very needed. Why? Because rachman lo yala lecha. Because if I only said lo yalecha, I can't wear it. Then havamina kol derech halah aser rachmana v'afilu mochiksus, that you really can't wear kalayim at any time you put it on. Even someone who's just putting it on for a brief moment, just to sell it, he's not intending to get any benefit from it. He's wearing it as a tenth layer just to show it off to customers. Well, if it said lo yalecha, the implication would be, anytime I put on kalayim for any purpose, even if my intention is not to get any type of benefit from this garment physically, in terms of it comforting me, warming me, so you would have thought that's also usur. So kasa rachmana lo silbash shatnes, that you can't wear shatnes. And dum yadilavisha disbehana, the only type of lo yalalecha that's usur is if it's similar to a levisha, meaning it has to be your intending to get some type of physical benefit from this garment. If I'm just a mochri ksus, if I'm just selling it, and I'm putting it on for a second just to sell it, but I'm not intending to get any benefit, so then it would be seemingly, at least at this point, it would be mutter. But these kazer rachman lo silbash, if I only had the phrase of lo silbash, havamina, dafka levisha denofish hani yasa. Maybe the only type of levisha of kalayim that's usur is when I'm wearing it with the intent to get a lot of hana, meaning I'm wearing it for a whole day. This is my main garment. But let's say I put on a shirt with kalayim for 5 minutes. Well, during those 5 minutes, I'm intending to get benefit, to be worn by the garment, but it's just for a moment. I'm just doing it casually. So you might have thought that would not be usur. Kasa rachmana lo yalalecha. That even that you can't do. Anytime I'm intending to get benefit from a garment of kalayim, it's going to be usur. Now this really does come up very lemaisa in terms of trying on a garment that might have shatnes. I mean, you go to a suit store, so you're going to get it checked, but can you try on the jacket? It might have shatnes. So the Ramah Yoredeya says that some say, yesh matirin, that it's mutter to wear shatnes as long as one is not intending to get hana, like try on the size in order to sell it. So it seems like from the Ramah, it would be mutter. However, Rav Zilberstein in Chashukei Chemin notes that the Chochmas Adam writes that you can never wear shatnes derech levisha, I mean to wear it as a garment, even without any kavana for hana. Why? Since it's a levisha. But some say it's mutter if your kavana is for something else. But the Chochmas Adam says he thinks everyone would agree it's usur if you want to buy it and are trying it on. as that's kavana for levisha. So it's very interesting, very lemaisa. How do we paskin? So the Minchas Yitzchak, Shevet HaLevi, and Rav Sternbach all say it's mutter. Certainly, if it's only suffik shatnis, and even if someone who wants to be machmer for the Chachmas Adam, they say the advice would be maybe don't look in the mirror. You're not getting so much hana'ah from the levisha. But it seems to be that the minug is that we don't have to get this, to get the jacket checked before we even try the jacket. We could try it on for a second, just see if it fits, then take it right off. We shouldn't walk around with it. We shouldn't, you know, go out of the store with it. But just to try it on, it sounds like from these poskim that it would be mutter. But that's sugi here. But either way, back to the Gemara, you see that don't tell me lo silba shadnes, the phrase is mufne, it's extra, because we need it as part of what we just said the last five lines, to teach me in concert with the phrase lo yalalacha, that anytime you're getting hana from a levisha of shatnis, physical hana, it would be usher to do. Says the Gemara, im kain, lichtov rachmana, lo silba shatnis. Okay, fine. I acknowledge that lo silba shatnis is not extra. But semru pishtim lamali. Why did the pasuk have to say, a garment of wool and linen you cannot wear? Michti, let's see. Kasavu begit kelayim shanis, well, yalalecha. It already told us a garment of kelayim of shanis don't wear. The key word here is begit. What's a begit? Tadevir Shmoel, hol v'nemra b'torah stam begadim. It says begadim, the word begit, all over the Torah. Uparlecha kasav be'echad min serem pishtim. In Hilchos Negayim, the Torah says, what's a begit? A begit means a garment of serem pishtim. So it says Tadevir Shmoel, af kol tzemru pishtim. Their opinion is that anytime the Torah says the word beged stam, without explaining what type of beged, it means a beged of tzemru pishtim. Well, now let's read back the pasuk of shatnes. It says, beged kalayim shatnes. So we should already know that the type of shatnes you cannot wear is a beged, is one with tzemru pishtim together. So therefore, tzemru pishtim because of rachmano lamali. So why did the Torah by shatnes have to write, specifically, explicitly state Semru Pishtim? We already know that from the word Beged, which is implicitly referring to Semru Pishtim. Shma mina lafnuye. It must be Semru Pishtim. Those words are extra, which allows us to darshin smuchin. Says the Gemara, really? Semru Pishtim are extra? V'yakati istrich. We need them. Kasavka yachamina ha'alahi t'lo nafish haniyasa. Maybe when I'm wearing it, t'lo nafish haniyasa, and I'm not really intending to get hana from it. I'm putting it on for a second. That's when we say tzemer, only tzemeru pishtim are aser. Aval levisha de nafesh haniyasa. If I put on a garment that I'm intending to wear for the entire day, I'm intending for it to warm me. Maybe kol tri mini aser. Maybe not just wool and linen. Any two types of material in combination would be aser, rachmana. And therefore, katsa rachmana tzemeru pishtim. Maybe the reason it says tzemeru pishtim is not because it's lafnuye, it's not extra. It's teaching me that you would have thought maybe tzemeru pishtim is only an iser when I'm just getting a little bit of hana from a garment. If I'm getting a full-fledged hana for the entire day, maybe any two materials would be usser in combination. So the Torah says tzemeru pishtim, tell me, no. Kelayim across the board. No matter whether you're wearing it for a minute or an hour or a day, the only iser of materials is the combination of wool and linen. So you see, tzemeru pishtim is not extra. Says the Gemara, no, im kain lishto krumine. If that was really what it's trying to teach me, it shouldn't have said tzemeru pishtim at all. V'tesi shani shanis me ha'ala. And I would have known that it's only iser of tzemeru pishtim from a hekish of shatnis from ha'ala. Just like by ha'ala, wearing garment for 5 minutes, it's only an iser of tzemeru pishtim. So too, it says shatnis when it comes to a full levisha. We would already know that it would only be aser by tzemeru pishtim. So you see over here that therefore tzemeru pishtim really is extra, because tzemeru pishtim is extra. That's the ifnuye. That's the mufne, which allows us to darshan smuchim to explain that you have the mitzvah of tzitzis, which overrides the iser kalayim. So now let's analyze for a second. Tanya Rishmal told us that anytime it says the word beged, it means semru pishtim. So taima de katzar rachmana semru pishtim halav hachi kalayim b'tzitzis havni de asar rachmana. If not for the fact that semru pishtim tells us that kalayim b'tzitzis is mutter, I would have thought that what
that your tzitzis cannot have kelayim in them. But why not, according to Talmid Rishmal? V'haksiv, doesn't the pasuk say, v'yasu lahem tzitzis al kafei b'dehem, tie your tzitzis to the corner of your garment. V'etan de Rishmal kol b'gadim tzemru pishtim. The word b'gdehem in that pasuk has to be referring to a garment of wool or linen. Right? V'amr Rachmana, and nevertheless the Torah says, Ovid le tchiles, and tchiles imruhu. Right? If you put in tchiles, tchiles is wool. So that means the Torah is telling you, attach a wool string to a wool or linen garment. Now, one of those two possibilities is a linen garment. That means the Torah is telling you, attach a wool string to a linen garment. So this Torah is telling you, you can have kelayim in tzitzis. So why do you need this whole thing of tzemru pishtim, la'afnuye, to teach me that kelayim b'tzitzis is mutter? From the fact that the Torah tells you, tie a wool string to possibly a linen garment, the Torah is telling you explicitly, kelayim is mutter b'tzitzis. So the Gemara just parenthetically says, umimai de tcheles imrehu. How do you know that when the Torah says tzitzis, which means tcheles, how do you know that's wool? The answer is, from the big de kahuna, midashish kisna, for the fact that shish is linen, tcheles imrehu. Rashi explains that the michnasei bad, the pants were shesh mazar, and the bad is pishtim, is the which we know it was linen pants, like we say over there in Yuma, and therefore the big day kahuna were only from tzemeru pishtim. So the fact that Rashi shmamina that the avodas they used, the clothing they wore, the big day kahuna had tzemer with pishtim, nothing else. So you see that from the fact that shish was referring to linen, it must be tchiles, was referring to wool. So now, we're at a kasha. What's the kasha? The kasha is, according to Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, we need tzemeru pishtim as mufneh, teach me, klayim b'tzitzis is mutter, but the pasuk of Yasulam tzitzis, akafei b'deim, the fact that the Torah is telling you to attach a wool string to a linen garment, that's the Torah's way of saying, klayim b'tzitzis is mutter. So why do you need a limud of smuchim? The answer is, it's derech. You still need it, because saik tachemina kiderava. I would have thought that we could use a diuk, an implication that Rava made. The Rava, Rami said, Rava posed a stira, a contradiction in psukim. Haknaf, min knaf. One pasuk says, you should attach it to the knaf, to the knaf. But what does knaf mean? Min knaf. Min knaf would mean that whatever material my garment is, I should attach the string, which is the same material as the garment itself. But then uksiv, tzemeru pishtim. But then it says, tzemeru pishtim, which means I can make my beged of tzemeru pishtim. The string should be tzemeru pishtim, regardless of what material the beged is. So it's a stira. Do the strings have to be the same material as the beged, or can they be different materials as the beged? So how does this work? Hakitzad. So Rava answers the contradiction as follows. Tzemru pishtim. When it comes to strings that are wool or linen, potrim bimaminon, bishlo minon. That works. It's kosher tzitzis, irrespective of if the beged is tzemru pishtim or not. The strings themselves are tzemru pishtim. That works on any material beged. But shar minin, when it comes to any other material, silk, netting, anything, cotton, then only b'minan potrim, then only if the strings in the beged are the same material, that's when it works. Shlo minan in potrim. Okay? So, what do you see from there? What are we trying to bring out from here? It sounds like, from here, that you wouldn't actually be able to say tzemeru pishtim. Right? It says Rashi, ksiv hakanaf, d'mashma asei tzitzis, mitzemer upishtim, that you could actually make tzitzis from tzemer upishtim. Aye, so you see from there that you would have thought that it wouldn't work. That it, when it comes, Rava was saying that when it comes to sharminin, it only works with the same material. But tzemer upishtim, it would work either way. Okay, aye, v'atanei Yishmael leisli l'Rava, but Tanya Rishmael doesn't darshan of haknaf min knaf. Because according to him, any other material is not chayiv tzitzis at all.
Because the Torah says beged, and beged means semeropishtim. So how are we going to explain Tanya Rishmael based on a statement of Rava when Tanya Rishmael doesn't even hold of Rava? So the Gemara says, Istrich, why? Sadat Chamina kidiyuka de Rava. It's not from the halacha of Rava. It's from the fact that Rava said hakanaf min knaf. So you would have thought what? Hakamar. According to Tanya Rishmael, he's not taking Rava's halacha. He's taking the following diuk from the phrase haknaf min knaf. What does it mean? Talka rachmana. This is what Torah meant to say. Ovid leit semer let semer upishtim lepishtim. When the Torah says make your string on the corner, it's saying your string has to be the same material as the garment, which means if you have a wool string, you should have a wool beged. If you have a linen string, you should have a linen beged. V'chiyavides semer let semer tzave. And when you have wool on wool, then make tcheles aval semer lepishtim upishtim let semer lo. But if I'm trying to attach wool to linen or linen to wool, it wouldn't be the mitzvah of tzitzis. And therefore, says Tanya Rishmael, because that we would have been mistaken by using Rava's diuk of haknaf min knaf to teach me this, which is not true, therefore, says Tanya Rishmael, because the Rachman at Semru Pishtim, Torah has to go out of its way to say, Semru Pishtim to teach me, Tafilu Semru Pishtim, Upishtim with Semer. When it comes to tzitzis, even when you have wool on linen and linen on wool, which is officially Kalayim, nevertheless, the open phrase, the mufna phrase of Temeru Pishtim teaches me that tzitzis, the mitzvah of tzitzis, overrides the isser of Kalayim, and that's asei dochalosei, the asei of tzitzis will override los asei of Kalayim, and we learn that out from smuchim, from juxtaposition, those psukim, which are in Sefer Dvarim, which even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that we learn it out in Sefer Dvarim. So we'll stop there.